Utica Police Chief Williams is in the studio. How are you, sir?
Good. Yourself?
A little cranky today. my knee's killing me. And Chief Brooks last night goes, Mark, you know what? You're wrong with your knee, don't you? I said, no, Chief, what's wrong? He goes, you got torn meniscus. He goes, I guarantee you. Go to the doctor, torn meniscus. I said, well, I'll have to check it out. Ken Finelli downstairs at the health department. Now, Mark, I heard you got a bad knee. That's my Ken Finelli. I know he's listening. It's a torn meniscus. I tell you right now, it's a torn meniscus. I go, well, how can I tear a meniscus? I stand on a chair all day. I sit in a chair. But I do cross my legs, Chief. And it's a rather effeminate gesture because I don't cross them like that, like the knee out. I really get my knee on top of my other knee. So it's really people look at me funny. And I think that's what did it. It's a bad habit I picked up from my uncle. Laugh if you want, Chief. That's all right. Go ahead. So yesterday, Councilman Jim Zecca faxed over a big news release. The New York Council of Mayors has voted the Armadillo Public Nuisance Abatement Program number one. How about that?
It's a nice honor.
And describe the Armadillo and the program for everybody if they don't know by now.
Well, this is an initiative that had started in Peoria, Illinois, by their police department out there. And we were looking for a way to address some of the quality of life issues here in the city of Utica. And what we found with Peoria, Illinois, is they were using a donated Brinks Armor truck, and they refurbished it and installed 10 surveillance cameras on top of it and decided to park it in front of public nuisance properties that they're dealing with. And what they found is that this program is very successful and very well liked by the residents in their city, because basically what happened was, you know, things like disorderly groups, drug houses, loud music, all that seemed to go away when they parked that vehicle there with surveillance cameras, and also gave the law enforcement not only an extra presence in those neighborhoods, but the ability to check what's going on based on the video footage that they found.
And it's important for people to know, it's not just like a pretty sweet-looking truck, which it is pretty nice, paint job. It's also a surveillance vehicle, and there's cameras in there, so, you know, beware if you see the Armadillo in your neighborhood, because you never know what it could capture on tape. Now, the council last night is looking into a new Armadillo for you guys, a second Armadillo, and it's going to cost them $10. It's pretty much a $10 donation, they said. They argued about it a bit. Joan Scalise, Councilwoman Joan Scalise, she seemed a little perturbed by it. I'm not sure why, but there was an issue. They were concerned about storage and everything like that. The DPW commission, Dave Short, said they could store it right up at the garage. And I think it's they brought up a good point last night that if they buy it today, say they bought it today, it wouldn't be necessarily ready to get right on the road. But it would allow them to solicit some donations to outfit the Armadillo from the community.
It does. Matter of fact, when we, you know, got our first armored truck back in December 2009, it took us a good, you know, 9 months to refurbish that vehicle and make it presentable and functional for the police department. And I got to say, it was by far one of the best projects I ever worked on in the police department, because the concept was embraced by the community, but more importantly, the business leaders and, you know, a lot of the citizens rallied around it, and they donated either their time or monies towards different systems that we needed in the truck, and that was really rewarding.
It seems like for a business, it would be more of an investment than an expenditure, because they're investing in their neighborhoods and their communities with this program. And can anybody get an armored truck for $10? Because if the city doesn't want it, I will certainly be glad to take it off their hands.
No, my understanding is they're just offering to the law enforcement agencies, and you know, we're certainly glad to be able to partake in the program.
So what's this award mean for the guys that that are a part of this program?
Well, we have our public nuisance officer, John Abel, who does a phenomenal
great
job.
Great guy, yep.
He's the one that, you know, monitors our community hotspots locations, and he's the one that determines where it goes on a you know, weekly or daily basis, and really a lot of the credit really belongs to him, because it's been well received in the neighborhoods where we've deployed the Armadillo, and could we use the second one? this time of year when you had the warmer weather.
Yeah.
And your quality of life issues, complaints start going up. Absolutely.
I think I heard somebody last night during the caucus meeting at the council say, well, what do we need another one for? And I couldn't tell who it was because, you know, they're all yelling at each other, and it got pretty heated again last night, and it seems like it always gets heated over the same couple issues, the ambulance service, the health benefits. Anyway, and it seemed to get pretty heated, and I thought it was almost not going to happen because they were questioning. So I guess they were really worried about the wording of the resolution to buy it. So hopefully we see it purchased and come down the road.
I'll have to make those phone calls today, and we'll see if they still have any trucks available.
Yeah, and I hope so, because it's, you know, a lot of people in the community have come out and said, and I got to be honest, Chief, when I first heard about this program, it's like, oh, the city of Utica bought an armored car. And we all sat there in the meeting going, what the heck are they going to do with an armored car? Really? They bought an armored car? And as it developed and as the details came out and how it was being used and the results, I got to tell you, it's a pretty good asset to have.
I got to say, I mean, I go with officers from my special operations unit every Wednesday. We do the neighborhood sweeps in some of the troubled neighborhoods, and the reception that we get wherever the armadillo has been deployed, they absolutely love it, and they ask if we could bring it back.
Well, yeah, it's making their community better. I'd say keep it there. We should have four of them. We really should. With North Utica, South Utica, East Utica, West Utica, we should have a whole fleet of armadillos. That's my opinion.
They got to give me a fleet of cars first.
Yeah, that was going to lead me into my next question, is what's going on with the cars? Lori Arcari, the councilwoman that's running for, she's at large right now. She's running for the 6th Ward. And she was very concerned about adding an armadillo when you guys need cars and your wheels are falling off and you don't have enough on the street. How close are you and how many cars do you want to beef up the force?
You know, it's not how much we want, it's how much we need, and right now, we've run out of spare vehicles. The spares that we've had are 2006, 2007s. They're currently being used as regular zone cars, and one of the problems we're facing is, as a car breaks down, now we have to, it's one less zone that we can cover.
Right.
And we're doubling up officers and cars, and we're doing the best to try to give double coverage to adjoining zones, but it gets difficult. But also what people don't realize, when you start, depleting your zones, you also increase your response time because to calls,
right.
Because now those are less cars that you have available to respond to calls. So I'm very concerned about the safety of the citizens, our officers, and response time has always been a complaint that we receive, and it's not going to improve by having less vehicles. And
now, what's the average mileage on a patrol car's life?
You know what, they say for city driving, and for city police departments, you should look to cycle these vehicles out of your fleet as your main zone car after about 75,000 miles.
Really?
And, many of the cars we have 70-plus on it right now.
Yeah, I'm sure those potholes don't help anything either.
No, not at all.
Now, let's talk about the recent homicide that was that happened in Watson and Genesee. A young man was shot,
yes.
Went to the hospital. He was shot several times, too, right?
Yes, he was.
He was transported to the hospital and later died from his injuries.
Yes. It was our first murder we've had since March of 2010. We had a nice streak going. Unfortunately, with the warmer weather, we started seeing an outbreak of shootings. We had one about a month ago, a little over a month ago, at James and West. Another shooting last week, James and Miller. And unfortunately, the homicide that happened just Monday. And what's concerning about it is the fact that these type of crimes are very up close and personal.
Yeah.
Like the first two shootings, when both people survive, they know who shot them.
Right.
But there's little, if no, cooperation with the police. And what ends up happening is these shootings just perpetuate and lead to more retaliation and other shootings and this no-snitch mentality. It's ridiculous, because what it is it's a thug mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to intimidate people to not do their civic duty and cooperate and do the right thing and tell the police what happened.
Do you think is there any evidence that these shootings are related in any way?
Not at this time, but we're certainly looking into that as a possible consideration.
And what was this the victim's background? Was he involved in gangs, drugs, anything like that?
I'd rather not say. Sure. The Davis family lost a family member, and the last thing I want to do is...
Right. And, you know, it's coming off of the Schuyler Street fire and then the Silo accident, and those were tragic accidents, and those were something that really brought the community together, especially the Schuyler Street fire, losing three little kids. And the community came together and really supported each other, and everybody took a step back and said, wow, what an awful thing to happen. And, you know, we wish we could have solved it or saved them. They were only 2, 3, 4 years old, and they didn't even get the chance to live their life. And this was not, you know, something that could have been avoided as it looks right now. But then you see a young man lose his life in a shooting that could have been avoided, that could have been prevented. And it kind of gets me a little fired up and a little angry because it's senseless. And then there's no cooperation with the police. And there's it's foolishness and it's senseless and it's really what's wrong with the kids these days. And I saying kids, I'm not that old. I'm 29, but you see the generational gap already from somebody that's 20 years old to somebody like me that's 29. It's a different world, even in that 9-year gap.
Well, one of the things I will say is this: most of our shootings are drug related.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. We made a concerted effort last year and the previous year to focus on those that carry the guns and the drugs, because those are the ones that are involved in your shootings. And last year, especially with our Metro narcotic unit, they did a phenomenal job. I mean, if I remember the figure correct, I think they took something like 24 guns off the streets by just investigations, drug investigations or, you know, just gun investigations. And last year, I remember there was a break-in of a gun store in Lewis County.
Yep, that's right.
And a lot of those guns end up in all places, Utica, New York. And, you know, our Metro unit was responsible for recovering 9 of those handguns and getting them out of the hands of, you know, the criminals that shouldn't have it in their hands to begin with.
816, we're joined by Utica Police Chief Williams. Now, it's just, so there, you're not getting any cooperation on this shooting. Yeah.
No, this shooting's a little different. I think it's really... anger the community. We're starting to getting people that are calling in information. Some of the sources they're calling are calling third hand knowledge.
But, right.
We welcome any and all calls. It's the shootings typically where, you know, we have a surviving victim that we tend not to get the cooperation with. But this shooting in particular, it's really angered the community.
It has.
And I'm glad that they're actually stepping up and starting to... give us what information they do have.
I'm telling you, I attribute it to the Schuyler Street fire. I really do, because I think the community, after losing, you know, three little kids, feels that enough is enough. You know, that was unavoidable. That was an accident. As it looks right now, there's still no details on the cause of the fire. But for something like this, somebody had to consciously get a gun, load it, pull the trigger, shoot it, aim at somebody, pull the trigger. For what? You know, for what? A dime bag of crack? Who knows? And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I think the community is really rallying around and each other and saying, listen, this is our city. We got to do something about it. And I, you know, if you're out there and you know some information, same thing with the guy that hit the 4-year-old on Mohawk Street and took off. If I was there, I would have thrown a brick through his window. And that would have made it a lot easier for you guys to find a green car with a brick through his window. Because that's outrageous. You hit a small child, and then you just leave the scene. And I was when I was on the scene, it was people were really PO'd about the whole situation.
And we're still working hard on that case, and we're hoping that, and again, we encourage anybody to come forward and give us additional information, but we're working hard to try to resolve that issue as well.
What else is, any big moves, shakeups coming for the department in the near future? You really lobbying for those cars?
You know, the thing is, it isn't that we're asking for a luxury or a wish list there. This is a necessity. This is how we deliver our services when it comes to our patrol fleet. And it's getting to a point where it's critical. So we're hoping that, our government leaders listen. I know it's a very, very tight budget. But if it gets to a point where know, this really affects public safety. They're going to have to reconsider.
Yeah, and they're going to have to find the money somewhere.
Exactly. The only thing I would like to say is that tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at the Radisson, we'll be honoring our own officers. We're having our annual awards ceremony, and what's nice is it gives us a chance to thank our men and women in the police department that do a phenomenal job, and we're looking forward to that.
What's the big award on the slate?
I think the one of the biggest awards that we're going to be issuing tomorrow is going to be the Brian Brown shooting of Deputy Berger, where you have a collaboration of different agencies all coming together, working well together, and which resulted in the suspect's arrest, here in the city of Utica. And it was just great teamwork. Law enforcement agencies working well together, and I think that needs to be the theme, not only then but in the future.
Does the force look forward to this? Do you guys have any wacky awards you give out or something like that, like best tie on a Saturday or slowest foot pursuit ever or something like that?
Well, that's probably done in-house daily, but not at this award ceremony.
Chief Williams, thanks so much for stopping by, and good luck with the armadillo and the cars. And
I appreciate it.
Really need it. You sense it at being at these meetings. The council wants to give it to you, but they're trying to come up with the money. So
they're in a tough spot. It's a tight budget.
Congratulations on the armadillo award, too. I think it's very,